إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. We are talking about the issue of Salah and the issue of looking after and guarding the Salah. As I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned three things with respect to the Salah. One, He mentioned the khushu' in the Salah, the concentration in the Salah, which we mentioned yesterday. Today in the same surah, Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Allah is mentioning the qualities of the believers, the mu'mineen. And Allah said that they are the people who guard their salawat, who guard their salah. By guarding the salah, is referred to the issue of praying on time, of not delaying salah. There is only one reason why anybody will delay salah. I'm not talking about reasons which are beyond our control. I'm talking about if it is in your control, then there's only one reason you delay it. And that reason is that you consider something else to be more important. And that is why with the delaying of salah, it's not an issue of how long you delay it for. It's the issue of the attitude which leads to delaying the salah. Right? Now one can have, for example, in the masajid, you have the salah time begins at a particular time and you say, well, we will call the adhan at that time and then we have the salah maybe 15 minutes later or 20 minutes later. This is a matter of general convenience for all the people who come to the masjid. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, there is no problem with that. But other than that, even with that, to delay it beyond a certain amount, and also when we are talking about ourselves, sometimes if you are engaged in your work and so on and so forth, and then the time for salah comes, then you say, well, you know, there is still time. You know, the time for zuhur, for example, is a long time. So we will pray, inshallah. I am not saying I will not pray. I will pray, but I keep postponing it. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about that also in another place. Inshallah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. But issue of protecting the salah, of salawatim yuhafizun, of looking after the salah, of protecting the salah, one has to do with regard to the praying on time, ensuring that we pray on time. The other issue also, and this refers to the fard salawat, this other issue also is to protect the salah from all kinds of things which are likely to destroy the salah, which are likely to destroy and remove or affect adversely the khushu' in salah. And this refers also to reading things and looking at things and getting involved in things which then bring all sorts of images and all sorts of thoughts into your mind when you should be actually praying and you should be concentrating on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So guarding of the eyes, guarding of the ears from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, this is very much a part of both creating khushu' in the salah as well as protecting the salah. These are two very important things. As I keep saying all the time, and may Allah give me the tawfiq to follow what I say, the quality of salah depends on what happens outside the salah. The quality of the salah depends on what happens outside the salah. For example, you might find that we have been, you know, I keep telling you guys, Alhamdulillah, first of all, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and reward you for coming for Salatul Fajr to the masjid. So this is a very good thing, and may Allah protect this for you all your lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree that every single day of your life that you pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid. Alhamdulillah. But if you look at a little bit before Salatul Fajr, right? What were you doing before Salatul Fajr? Alhamdulillah, inshallah, some of you were praying tahajjud before Salatul Fajr. Alhamdulillah, all power to you. Some people may have been reading Quran before Salatul Fajr, which is Alhamdulillah, all power to you, right? But other people, maybe you are not doing that. Maybe you are doing something else. I'm not saying, inshallah, we don't have, from you, we don't expect that you will be doing anything haram. So I'm not even talking about that. But you are doing something else, whatever it is, right? But that thing which you are doing, did it have the same value as tahajjud? You have to see. I mean, nobody else can sit like a policeman on top of your head to say, what are you seeing, what are you doing, right? So as I said, I'm not even talking about haram. As I said, from you, inshallah, we do not expect, from a Muslim, we do not expect that a Muslim will deliberately go and do something which is haram. This is not even Islam. That is absolutely the dregs. So we don't even expect that a Muslim will deliberately do something haram. So he's not doing haram. But maybe you read the newspaper, Allah alam. Maybe you are looking at what is happening in Egypt. You're watching this news which is coming from somewhere, right? And you're saying, what is happening in Egypt, or what is happening in Syria or somewhere. So it is not haram. It is something which is even, you might say, well, you know, I'm getting some knowledge about politics, or I'm getting some knowledge about something. My simple question is this. My question is, the time of the last one-third of the night, the time of the last one-third of the night, which is just before Salatul Fajr, before the time begins. Now the time for Fajr is coming in around, say, 4:21 or 4:22, something like this. So if you say 1 hour before that, so say from 3:30, from 3 o'clock onwards, that period of time is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends onto the first heaven in a way that suits His majesty and grace, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces and says, who is it that requires my help? Let him ask and I will help him. Who is it that requires my protection? Let him ask and I will protect him. Who is it that he requires anything from me? Let him make dua and I will give him. Now this announcement has been made, and at that time, I am involved in doing anything other than asking Allah, then tell me, does it make sense? Does it make sense? As I said, I'm not talking about haram, no. I'm talking about jais things, halal things, nothing haram. But it is something which is not the level of tahajjud. Take it a step further. Say, for example, it is written for me that immediately after Salatul Fajr, I am going to die today. I don't know this, you don't know this, nobody knows, but this is my last few minutes of my life on the earth. And I am going to die immediately after Salatul Fajr today. Now, in that case, do I want to die having prayed tahajjud today? Having asked for the maghfirat of Allah today? Or do I want to die in a state where I was doing something other than that? And then when Malakul Maut stand before me, I say, oh my God, I should have prayed tahajjud today. Oh my God, I should have asked for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Oh my God, I should have done this. Now Malakul Maut is here. What do I do? What do? You do nothing. Malakul Maut is there. You have to go. So that chance that you had of praying tahajjud, nobody knows. You don't know. I don't know when that last day will come. All we know is that it will come. There is no doubt about that. So salawatim yuhafizun has to do with the protection of the time of the salah. No doubt about that. That we are supposed to pray the salawat at their appointed times. We cannot decide to pray whenever we feel like praying. And as I said, the whole attitude of delaying salah is only for to suit our own convenience. And that attitude itself is wrong. So we pray at the time when the time for prayer comes. Whether or not it is convenient to us, that is, we have to make it convenient. We are going before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where is the question of putting your convenience before that? As I said, let us be reasonable, no problem. If there is something which you cannot postpone, you are a doctor performing an operation, you can't leave the patient in the middle of the operation and go off for salah. No, you can't do that, you have to postpone. One understands that. So that's not the issue. The issue is most of us are not in that situation. Most of us are in a situation where we are doing all kinds of other stuff, none of which is important. And we still postpone the salah and so on and so forth. So one is that. The second thing also, as I said, is to respect the issue that when times for a certain special salawat come, what do we do with that time? The time for tahajjud, especially at when it comes, I know from tomorrow, once the moon has been sighted, once Ramadan starts, all the shayateen will be locked up and then we'll have this masjid full of people. But I always say, you know, we are Muslims who are shaitan dependent for our work. Yeah? We are shaitan dependent. Whether we do good or not depends on shaitan. Doesn't depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'udhu billah. Doesn't depend on our own niyyah. Doesn't depend on our own desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are dependent on the shaitan. If the shaitan is locked up, we do good. If shaitan is loose, we don't do good. How can we live like this? Yeah? This is bad. No? We can't live like this. Right? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. You can actually lock up the shaitan every day if you want. Just say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lock up the shaitan. So you don't have to wait till Ramadan. It is a tragedy of the masajid. First of Ramadan, it fills. 30th of Ramadan, empties. La hawla quwwata illa billah. That's why I always say, if masajid had a voice, then they would not call the day of Eid al-Fitr Eid. They would say, this is a day of sadness, a day of mourning. It's a day when the masjid will cry. Because why? Because it's empty. What kind of Eid is this? That everybody is gone. Nobody is there again. La hawla quwwata illa billah. So let us be very clear. Protect the salah. Protect the salah from anything which disturbs the salah, anything which distracts our attention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Protect the salah in terms of its time, ensuring that you pray at the correct time, and protect the salah especially in terms of tahajjud. As I said, remember, the day will come when you and I are going to die. And if it is decreed for us that I am going to die today, do I want to die with tahajjud or do I want to die without tahajjud? That has been given into our hands. That taqdeer, that muqaddar, you have been given the power to write it for yourself. Simple as that. Simple as that. And therefore, let us make sure that we do it correctly. You know, in the old days, some of the ulama, they have also said that the games like chess, for example, right? Chess is prohibited. Some ulama have given this fatwa to say that chess is prohibited because, and the reason they said chess is prohibited is because it distracts people and it takes your attention away, and then when the time for salah comes, you delay the salah because you are sitting at this chess board and you are going to make this great move and so on, and therefore you delay the salah. Now I'm saying, if you apply the same logic to cricket, if you employ the same logic to football, if you apply the same logic to all the computer games that we play, Allah alam, what fatawa we must give for those. Because if chess is distracting, then cricket and football and computer games are 10,000 times more distracting than chess. Chess, at least one can argue that you are getting some, you know, brain exercise, because it requires a lot of intelligence, it requires a lot of planning, and it's a game of strategy and whatnot. So one can say something good with respect to chess and what someone actually learns in terms of planning and strategy by playing chess. But what planning and strategy do you learn from playing some stupid computer game and, you know, zapping whatever bricks coming down from the sky or something? The most mindless, the most senseless things in the world are the computer games. They completely make your brain go dead. Completely brain dead. Nothing else. Now you're racing a car. What fun is it? I mean, seriously think about this. I mean, is this something that any person with, you know, sort of half a brain should do? I mean, this is something which completely people with zero, no brain at all, you know, vacuum in the head. Only they can enjoy. How can you possibly enjoy something which does not engage anything? I mean, it's just a mechanical exercise, and the same thing, and repeat. And you're getting your score up on that. Seriously, you have to question yourself. All of these games, just junk them. Go home and delete them. Completely. Right? Throw the computer in the garbage. I mean, if that is what, because it's distracting. Imagine, think about it. It's taking you away from tahajjud. It's taking you away from salat. It's taking you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's putting all sorts of, you know, rubbish in your head. And on top of that, you gain absolutely nothing in any aspect. It's neither deen nor dunya. Ghar ka na ghat ka ghat ka bolte, dhobi ka ghada ghat. Toh aisa hai khisa. So let us not fall into that trap. As I said, alhamdulillah, I am very happy whenever I see you guys in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you and may Allah reward you and strengthen you. But we have to, as your elder, I have to be concerned also about what happens outside the masjid. And as I said, I am not even implying. I know you do not do haram. Alhamdulillah. No Muslim can do haram deliberately. That's why I don't even mention it. Why should I talk about something you are not doing? But even, what is the question of darajat close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's haram. Not doing haram is the basic entry level. It's the first step, right? But you get too close to Allah, what do we need to do? More, not less, right? We need to do more. So haram I'm not doing, but even among the things which are jais and halal, let me do that which gives me more reward. So simply, very simple exercise. Just sit and say, anytime you have to do something, put this on one side and put something else on the other side. Which is it that will give me more benefit? Does this game give me more benefit, or does reading Quran give me more benefit? What is the level of my tajweed? Just think about it. Supposing I say, please now recite Surah Al-Fatiha. If I get all of you to recite, how many of you can recite Surah Al-Fatiha perfectly? Should we do that or should we not? Is it necessary? What do you think? Absolutely critical. Especially if you are leading Salah, it's even more critical, because if your Surah Al-Fatiha is wrong, you have destroyed everybody else's Salah. Not only your own, you also destroyed other people's Salah, because your tajweed is all upside down. So is it not something that you should spend some time to learn? When is it going to happen? When will it happen? Same 24 hours, no? Nobody has some special time now for tajweed. No. See, you have to create that time from your normal day. And I am giving you only one example. I mean, this you can extend and say, what are all the different things that I need to do, things I need to learn and so on. But I am saying just one simple thing. One funny thing I find in this masjid every time is when I come here and I find this, you know, mashallah, mutasharra, young men, nice beard and everything else, and I tell him, please call the azan. Ji nahi, mere ko nahi azan dene ko nahi aata. Are tumhari aisi kitne ji? Azan dene ko nahi aata. What is there to, you know? How many of them? I am not once. Kai bar hua mere. Bhai, azan de ho. Mere ko nahi aata. Are, roz azan sun raha. And mashallah, dekhe to bachcha acha. Are, it looks like he is somebody who prays regularly and so on and so on. And definitely I can say that. Hamari masjid mein, at whatever time, barabar namaz ko aate. Kya? Khali kya hai? No desire to make effort. I am not saying, call the azan like the azan in the haram. No. Whichever besuri awaz mein azan deo. Magar deo na. The words of the azan, should you not know? It is absolutely critical. Every Muslim man should know the words of the adhan and should be able to call the adhan. I'm not talking about this tune and this and that thing. Just the words of the adhan. You say give iqamat, they can't give iqamat. Or they give the iqamat which is, you know, they wrap up everything, khichdi. They wrap up Imam Shafi, Imam Hanifa and everyone together into one bundle. And that iqamat is whatever number of times anything. I call it the fusion iqamat. So seriously, I mean, these are basic, absolutely basic. Inshallah, if Allah gives us the tawfiq, this time when we are here for i'tikaf, we will, you know, actually teach all that. But this is not something we have to wait for the i'tikaf in Ramadan to learn how to give adhan. I mean, but time has to be taken out. That time comes from your own time. So please make it a niya for yourself today, that from today onwards, you are not going to miss tahajjud. You are not going to get yourself involved in unnecessary, useless time killers like computer games or whatever else. And spend the time in a way which gives you benefit, inshallah. Right? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you his benefit, because a day will come, wallahi, a day will come when you will be very, very happy or you will be very, very sad, depending on what you did with your time. I ask Allah to make us all among those who will be very happy with what we did with our time. I say, Alhamdulillah, I did not misuse my time. Alhamdulillah, I maximized the benefit of my time. I want to end with one thought that came to me just now. There's a hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after Salatul Fajr, he used to turn around and he used to give some hidayah, some nasiha and so forth. And in that time also, he used to ask, sometimes people used to say, did any of you see a dream? And if they saw a dream, they would narrate the dream to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he would give the interpretation of this dream. Now one day he asked this question, and Abu Talha Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I saw a very strange dream last night. He mentioned two other Sahaba. He said, these two people accepted Islam on the same day. So they came into Islam on the same day. He said, one of them, so and so, died 1 year earlier. He died, say, last year. And the other one died now. So one of them died 1 year earlier, and the next one died 1 year later. Right? He said, the man who died 1 year earlier died Shaheed fi sabilillah. He was in a battle, and he died in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, the man who died a year later died of natural causes. He did not die in the field of battle. And Abu Talha Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he said that, but I saw the man who died later of natural causes, He did not die in the path of Allah. This man, I saw him entering Jannah before the other man. He said, how is it possible? Because other man dies shaheed fi sabilillah, this man dies 1 year later, and he is entering the Jannah first. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why are you surprised? He said, did that second man not have 1 year of life more? Did he not have one more Ramadan? Did he not have one more year in which to add to his deeds and to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That does not mean that the person who died shaheed, something is wrong with him. No, he died and inshallah Allah will give Jannah. But he says the issue of that time, what does this hadith tell us? This tells us the importance of time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not talking about some great thing the person is wrong with. The same 1 year. That 1 year, what did he do with that time? And that is the time that we have available to us every single day until we die. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to remember this. To give us the tawfiq to prioritize our lives and not do anything where we will then have to regret, why did I spend my time like this? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ensure and enable us to spend our time in a way where when the time to go before Him comes, we will be very happy with how we spent that time. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you and to reward you, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.